Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Mark Schanowski's on Twitter, at Mark Schanowski. He is the NBC Sports Chicago Bulls host, and he joins us at this time weekly to talk Bulls and NBA. Well, let's start with NBA. Before we get to Bulls, we have been debating the actual effect of this dust-up, this now officiated dust-up and adjudicated dust-up between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. What do you see from afar?
Well, Kevin Durant, like most NBA superstars, is incredibly sensitive. You know, they always say, well, I don't listen to what people, writers say about me, but they listen to all of it and they read all of it. And he's one of these guys that thinks that, you know, he should be recognized as the best player in the NBA. He feels like he surpassed LeBron as the best player in the league after the two finals MVPs. And he's been stung by the criticism that he just hopped on board the Golden State bandwagon and they would have continued to win championships without him. So I think at this point, he's looking at his options, and depending on how the season plays out, I think there's a really good chance that he decides to go somewhere else and form his own team and be recognized as the star of that team, the guy that kind of carries the weight there. So it'll be interesting to see how this all continues with Golden State, because it's a volatile mix anytime you put Draymond Green in there, and we're going to see more flare-ups for the season end.
A lot of Bulls fans have wondered whether anybody leaving that team might come around to this side of the NBA. Do you think that a blow up of that team, if it does get as bad as it possibly could, nets anything in favor for the Bulls?
You hope so, because not only does it open up free agent possibilities, but there could be trade scenarios, not just involving Golden State, but other teams, in terms of a ripple effect down the line. We're already seeing in Washington with that team hitting the skids that, you know, players like John Wall and Bradley Beal could become available in trade before the year is out. And whether that's the Bulls or somebody else, that could open up another trade. So there's going to be a lot of movement. About half the league is going to be free agents next summer. So you're going to see a lot of changes in the power structure of the NBA. Golden State is going to have to work hard to try to hang on to what they've built for this time. And it's not going to be easy, because everybody wants max money. Everybody wants the notoriety that comes with being a multiple-time champion. And I think right now the odds are in favor of Durant looking elsewhere. Whether or not he would consider Chicago or even take a meeting, that's problematic as to where the Bulls are in their development. But because of the fact that he wants credit for being the number one star on a team, maybe he would consider a franchise that's been down like the Bulls or the Knicks that's in a major market and would give him all the acclaim that he thinks he deserves.
I think more likely the latter than the former
in that case. Yeah, I agree.
But with Jimmy Butler landing in Philadelphia, what are you hearing from the Bulls about how they feel, even more so now perhaps, about their decision to make the move they did with Butler?
Well, Dan, they've never looked back, obviously. That was a situation that became untenable. Jimmy just, this Hollywood persona just took over and poisoned the locker room. And it wasn't only the money. They were reluctant to commit to a 5-year, $200 million contract for a player in his mid-30s in the latter stages of the deal. So they've never looked back on that. They're very happy, obviously, with Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen, and still waiting to see what they have in Chris Dunn. But they feel like they had made an excellent trade, the best one that was on the board at the time, and I think privately they're all kind of snickering. You know, now Jimmy's going to move around the league, and if you caught his news conference yesterday, you know, same old Jimmy. I just want to win. I'm a fantastic individual. I'm a great teammate. I mean, I'm surprised there wasn't just a bust out of laughter in the media corps when he said that.
I was just let down that he didn't detail all of the things he does in the gym, the many times he is in the gym.
And he's available to his teammates anytime they want to reach out to him.
Anytime.
I'm sure those calls are going to be flooding in.
Anytime. He's just that kind of guy. I'm wondering, you know, as we've watched the progress of Zach LaVine coming back from his knee last season, it's evident that the guy is back to healthy. How have you measured his progress, really the Bulls' offensive progress, in understanding that he's going to get blitzed, he's going to have defenders thrown at him, and at some point, you know, he's got to be a bit of a playmaker, even if, you know, he won't be once Markkanen, once Dunn, once Valanciunas, once all these guys get back in action.
Frankly, I'm kind of shocked it hasn't happened earlier. I mean, he got to go 10 games with basically seeing straight-up defenses. He's the only guy that can create his own shot and attack the rim, and teams were playing him pretty much straight up for the first 8 to 10 games of the year. Rick Carlisle's a good coach. They blitzed him on every pick and roll, and he's going to be seeing that every game they play until they get some reinforcements. It's just the reality of NBA life. And if you saw Zach in the post-game locker room after the game Monday night, he was completely exhausted mentally and physically, and that's what he's going to have to take. You know, he got the Tom Thibodeau treatment on Monday. He played 41 hard minutes. He was 8 for 23 from the floor, and every one of those shots was difficult to get off. Boston, I'm sure, the number one defensive team in the league, is going to come at him with a similar strategy. And it's, you know, somebody else has to step up. Obviously, they brought in Jabari Parker as a guy they thought that could be a secondary scorer. That hasn't materialized to this point. I think what they're going to have to do to take some of the pressure off of Zach is use Wendell Carter Jr. more in the high post and the mid post. Get the ball into him, run some action off him, and let him make some decisions with the ball so Zach isn't always trying to create with the basketball in his hands. Maybe you can run some screens weak side. Let Zach become more of a catch-and-shoot player. Carter's a good passer, got a good basketball IQ, and I know they're probably a little reluctant to put those kind of responsibilities on a 19-year-old, but it might be their best option right now.
I was listening to your colleague Kendall Gill yesterday when he was on with McNeil and Parkins evaluating Zach LaVine's game. He believes that Zach LaVine can be an elite NBA scorer. He was saying an over 25-point-a-game scorer, which is, that's like a top-five scorer in this league. He believes that he is the best player on this team, even with a healthy Lauri Markkanen, and is the primary guy even when Markkanen comes back. Do you agree? We've heard Markkanen referred to as a foundational piece. We are certainly seeing the physical tools that have returned for Zach LaVine. Where is the ceiling now?
Well, I think that he certainly can be an all-star player in the Eastern Conference. That certainly lost some of its luster with the departure of so many players. But I think he can be a top 25 player in the league, a guy who's going to get you 20 to 25 points a night. And the way the scoring is taken off in the NBA right now, that's not necessarily saying you're an elite player. You know, getting 20 isn't what it meant 5, 10 years ago, because defenses aren't as locked in as they used to be. I think I give him a ton of credit for all the work he put in this summer, because when we saw him in that 24-game sample size last year, he was hesitant. He was settling for contested mid-range shots. He really didn't have that explosiveness at the basket. Now it's all back, and he's put the team on his shoulders. I just wish some of these guys get back quicker so we won't see him physically wear down. And the latest update on Markkanen is, 2, 3, 4 weeks away, and Portis and Dunn could drag into mid-December, and by that point, Zach's going to be running on fumes. They've got a brutally tough schedule coming up with Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto. A lot of tough games coming up before December hits, and you worry about not only physically but mentally how he can hold up with all the pressure that's being put on him. But to your original point, I think there's nothing wrong with Zach and Lowry being co-number ones. I don't think you necessarily have to say this guy's better than that guy. Any team that wants to do anything in the playoffs needs three primary options. And
right. My answer is neither one is the number one guy. I mean,
right.
My thought is the number one guy's not here yet.
You're probably right. Yeah, I think that ideally either one of those guys would be a fantastic second option behind a superstar like a Kevin Durant or a player of that caliber, where they would get more open looks. They could come off screens and be catch-and-shoot players. You wouldn't say, late in the shot clock, here's the ball, you do something with it. And I think you're right. I think ideally, those, if you had LaVine and Markkanen as your 2-3 or co-2s, you'd be pretty happy with that. But like every other team in the NBA, the Bulls are somehow trying to find a superstar, and that's the toughest thing to do in the league.
Mark, what do you make of their opponent tonight, the Celtics? At 7-6, are their issues as simple as getting Gordon Hayward back into the offense, or is there something more to it?
I'll tell you what, it's been painful watching Gordon Hayward through these first 13 games. He's playing, I wrote a column for NBCSportsChicago.com, where it looks like he's playing at three-quarter speed. Mm. He's running tentatively up the court. He's afraid to really let it go. And, maybe it's similar to what we just mentioned about Zach LaVine. He doesn't really trust that the ankle's going to hold up right now. But he's not one of their best five players. And Brad Stevens is starting him probably just to try to build up his confidence and let him know that the team supports him, even though he's struggling right now. He's shooting below 40% from the field, averaging just under 10 points a game, and looks nothing like the guy we saw in Utah. They've got issues with Terry Rozier coming off the bench, who started in place of Kyrie Irving when he was out last season, played so well in the playoffs. Now he's kind of unhappy with fewer minutes and fewer touches. And I think the young guys, Brown and Tatum, are also taking a more of a subordinate role in the half-court offense. And they're kind of looking around going, wait, we took this team to the the brink of the NBA Finals last year, and now we're watching Kyrie dribble the ball. So whenever you have an abundance of good young talent, it's great, but when you've got a ball-dominant guy like Kyrie, that's up to Brad Stevens to figure out how it's all going to work.
6:30 start tonight, NBC Sportsnet Chicago for the Bulls and the Celtics. Mark Schanowski, thanks as always.
Yeah, we're going to have a pregame at 6 o'clock. Kelly Krull is with the team in Boston, and she'll report live. And she has, on our latest Bulls Talk podcast, she has some great stories about covering the Thunder with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden. So if people have some free time, they should check it out.
Very cool. Thanks, Mark.
All right, guys.
Mark Schanowski joins us weekly, talking NBA basketball and Chicago Bulls.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.